Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes. وأضاء للدنيا طريقا مشرقا وهدى من الرحمن يهدينا به للصالحات وللمكارم والتقى نور على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا مشرقا وهدى
الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Dear brothers and sisters, we are rapidly approaching the last 10 nights of this blessed month, the most blessed nights of the year, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered us to seek out Laylatul Qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He revealed it, this Qur'an, in Laylatul Qadr.
I thought you were going to ask me to wear it on my head, Madonna's style.
But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran al-Kareem in one of these last nights of Ramadan. First of all, from Allahul Mahfuz to the lowest heavens, and then from the lowest heavens through Jibreel alayhi salam, He revealed it unto Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this Qur'an was the Qur'an which he came with this message. Ya ayyuhan nabi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nabi, inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mudashiran wa nadira wa da'ayan ilallahi bi'idhnihi wa sirajan munira. He sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a caller, As a witness, as a bringer of good news and glad tidings for people, as a warner, as a caller to people, da'iyan ila Allah bi'idhnihi, a caller to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His permission, and as a lamp giving light, a beacon by which everybody can measure themselves by and look to for guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in the Qur'an why He sent this Qur'an. Because you know, in this month of Ramadan, we read Qur'an. Many of us, we try and recite the whole Qur'an in Ramadan, or we stand behind the Imam in Taraweeh, Salatul Taraweeh, over the month, and the Imam may recite Qur'an over that month, and we enjoy listening to Qur'an. And we receive blessings from this Qur'an. And we receive sustenance from this Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in the Qur'an, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أليف لام را. The meaning of these letters we don't know. We don't look for. كتاب أنزلناه إليك لتخرج الناس من الظلمات إلى النور بإذن ربهم إلى ila siratil azizil hamid. A book revealed to you so that you might guide an-nas, humanity out of darkness into light. This Quran did not just come for Abdul Wahid to enjoy listening to it, or for you to. This Quran did not just come for you and I to get personal benefit and sustenance from it. This Quran was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so that he, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, could lead humanity out of darkness into light. And this was his struggle. This was his struggle. It wasn't a personal thing for him to just get a personal benefit from. So we look today, and we look at around the world, and we see who's in darkness. Who's in darkness at the moment? Who's in need of this light? The Muslims of Syria are in need of this light. For 20, 30 years have lived under a brutal dictatorship, and for 2.5 years have seen untold thousands made shaheed, and so many more injured, and millions made homeless by a regime that has no shame and no fear of harming anyone just to survive itself. The Muslims of Egypt are in need of light, because we've seen they've been robbed. They've been robbed. They stood up against Mubarak. They threw off the fear of the dhulm that they faced for decades. And they were led into a false hope that this revolution was over and they had something. And now we see they're back, the same old killing by the military generals backed by Washington. The Muslims of Pakistan are in need of light from this darkness that they've lived under, from chaos and bloodshed and killing and poverty and power cuts and all this kind of thing. The Muslims of Bangladesh in need of light, with Sheikh Hasina chasing everybody for standing up for Islam. The Muslims of Myanmar, Burma are in need of light, being killed just for their Islam. But you know what, you go out there on the streets of Birmingham or whichever town or city you live in, and you'll see there are plenty of people here in need of light as well. We only have to look at daily life here to see the people living around the world in the West under capitalism. Family life decay. A family isn't a man, a woman, a father and a mother and their children anymore, with grandparents and uncles and aunts. A family is one person. Maybe they've got kids with them as well. A family is being distorted into man, and woman being married. A society out there where most people are frankly only one or two paychecks away from the street. And they call this a rich society, a wealthy society. The world is in need of light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this Quran, this messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to lead humanity out of darkness into light. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was our example to follow, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him in the Quran, قُلْ say, O Muhammad, هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي, this is my way. أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. I call to Allah upon a clear vision, me and those who follow me. Do you follow him, brothers and sisters? That's very quiet. And fasting isn't an excuse. Do you follow him, brothers and sisters?
Yes.
Yes, we are of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We follow him. We follow him. We hope to be behind him on Yawm al-Qiyamah. We hope to be of those people that when he looks out and sees his Ummah displayed to everyone, we hope to be amongst those billions. We follow him. So we have to look to his example of how he struggled to lead humanity out of darkness into light. So how did he do it? Brother Yahya has already told us that his mission in Mecca that started, that went for 13 years,
It was a struggle. And there were very few people who struggled with him. Few in number, but great in stature. How many people do you think migrated with him to Medina? Does anyone know? Any guesses? You're talking around the 100 mark. You're talking around the 100 mark of Muslims after 13 years of struggle by the best da'wah carrier in humanity, 13 years of struggle, he took with him about 100 Muslims. So when Rasulullah called them to Islam, called them away from the worship of wood and stone, when he called them to stop burying their daughters, to stop cheating, to stop backbiting, to stop defrauding, to stop the rich oppressing the weak, to stop the ugly sin of tribalism, of racism, when he did all of that for 13 years, 100 or so people were convinced by him. Alhamdulillah, because they were of the great of humanity. But it's worth thinking, this da'wah of speaking out, of calling against the munkar, calling for the khair, of showing the crooked and the straight line side by side, which is right, which is wrong, this was not the means to establish the light out of the darkness. This was not it alone, this was a process. This was an effort on his part to change the society. And after 13 years, that society he lived in did not change. They still lived in darkness. So there must have been something else in his mission. That something else, brothers and sisters, as we know, was when he made hijrah. The decisive change in his mission. The second phase, you can say, where he moved to Medina, where a society did welcome his Islam, where people did hear his call and did change en masse as a society, ready to take him as their leader. And this is the second, this is something we must not forget. Islam didn't come as a vague set of morals for us just to adopt personally. When he was calling in Mecca, he was not calling for people just to follow a set of morals individually. He was calling for them to take these values, these beliefs, these laws, and establish them in the society as the system, as the way of life. And this is what he did in Medina. And even that was a struggle. Because although he had the support from the Ansar, the material support, the power behind him, Medina was a society that was very damaged from before. Warring tribes fighting each other. A large Jewish population that was jealous of a messenger coming to the Arabs. And the munafiqeen, the hypocrites who professed Islam from their lips but hated it in their hearts and worked against him, causing fitna and trouble and strife and struggle. Not so different to what we see, say, in some amongst the streets of Egypt or Tunisia, who are creating more and more fitna on the streets there. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had to struggle with that and had to establish the laws of Islam in that state. And it wasn't always easy, brothers and sisters. But he did it. It was an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, بَعْدَ عَوْضُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَأَنِحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ. And judge between them, rule between them by what Allah has revealed. وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. And don't follow their desires, their inclinations. So if you've got people in your country, in your state, in your society who are against what Allah has revealed, don't follow them, what their desires are. وَأَحْذَرُوهُمْ أَن يَفْتِينُكَ أَمْ بَعْضِ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. And beware of them, and lest they tempt you away from some of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to you.
So a warning which sadly, our brother Muhammad Mursi, who failed to establish Islam when he came into office. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease the suffering of all the Muslims in Egypt who are suffering, including our brothers from Ikhwan. But sadly, when people tempt you away from establishing the deen of Allah, it will only ever be a humiliation for you in the dunya and with fear in the akhirah. He established Islam, the rules of Islam. And it's worth thinking about. Think of the different problems that people have in any society, then or now. Think of the guidance Allah and His Messenger gave of how to avoid that. And then understand how this Islam establishes rules to implement that guidance, to protect it and to carry it to others. This was his struggle in Medina. And this is what we hope to see in any Islamic state in the future, any Khilafah in the future. So I said before, the people of Yathrib, as it was called before the Prophet ﷺ went there, the people of Yathrib, they were warring and fighting based on their tribal identity for years beforehand. So many killed, so much bloodshed. Not very different to if you look at, say, a place like Pakistan, where we see people fighting, or Syria, where we see the conflict and fighting, or Iraq, where we see the conflict erupted in the last 10 years since the occupation. Fighting, killing, bloodshed, brother killing brother, in their case, tribe killing tribe. And when Rasulullah ﷺ came with Islam to Medina, he united them around what? Around Islam. In a constitution, the first thing he did, establish a constitution and get all parties in the state to sign up to it, even non-Muslims, based on Islam, a law. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Imran, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And hold tight to the rope of Allah and don't become divided. So the thing that unites you is Islam, the rope of Allah. Not a national identity, not an Egyptian identity, or a Syrian identity, or an Arab identity, or a Pakistani identity, or a British Muslim identity. It's a Islam that unites you. وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. And remember Allah's favor on you, because you were divided, you were enemies. And Allah brought your hearts together. And He saved you from the pit of fire because of that. So it's only a society that unites around Islam that's going to bring that unity that ends that division and bloodshed. Think of a problem in today's society in the Muslim world, like corruption, cheating from the politicians or from the ordinary people, that leaves the society, the rich richer, the poor poorer. Think of that. We know Islam. We know that in Mecca, the Prophet ﷺ, he condemned the people that used to cheat. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Woe to those who defraud. Who when they take more, and when they're supposed to give, they give less. He condemned that. But in Medina, it wasn't just the ayat of Quran giving people a moral value on this. It wasn't just the ayah that says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, believers, la ta'kulu amwalukum baynakum bil batil. Don't consume one another's wealth unjustly. That wasn't just it. He acted as the judge, the qadi. So when he was in the marketplace and he saw people acting unjustly, this didn't just remain an ayah on paper. This became the judgment by which he judged. So he saw someone selling dates where they covered up the rotten ones underneath and sold the better ones. And he judged against them. He saw people writing down contracts falsely, he judged against them. So he used the force of his position as Qadi. And this becomes later, we call this the Qadi Hizba. So following his example as Qadi in the marketplace, in joining right and wrong in that situation, the state keeps this ayah in reality. And in other situations, he acted as a judge and a ruler, where officials of the state who were prone to corruption, he ruled against them. So one day, a tax collector, a collector of zakat, went out to collect the funds for the state. And he came back to the Prophet and he said, this is for you, for the Bayt al-Mal. And this stuff, this is what they've given me. Meaning, these were the kickbacks that he'd taken from people who'd given him gifts so that he'd take less from them. The Prophet said, would you have received those gifts if you were sitting at home in your mother and father's house? Meaning, you only got these because of the job and the responsibility you were given. They aren't yours. They belong in the Bayt al-Mal with everyone else. His function as a Qadi in this position was against a madlima, against a wrongdoing by the officers of the state. So we have a Qadi Madalim in the Islamic State whose job it is to rule so that these ayat of Quran don't just remain words that we recite in Ramadan, they get enforced in reality. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this same ayah, لا تأكلوا أموالكم, don't eat up others' wealth, your wealth and others wrongly. It says later in there, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, and don't kill each other, don't kill yourselves. إن الله كان بكم رحيما, and indeed Allah is to you ever merciful. He says, don't kill yourself. This is not just a moral code that people are expected to follow. Because why? In Medina came ayat of Quran that addressed killing. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O believers, again giving an order. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِصَاصُ فِي الْقَتْلِ, prescribed for you is legal retribution for those murdered. Al-hurru bil-hurri, wal-ardu bil-ardi, wal-untha bil-untha. The free for the free, the slave for the slave, the woman for the woman. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was given a full legal code of how to judge when someone killed someone else. Punishment of death, unless what? Unless the family showed mercy on the criminal after they'd been judged in a court. And we see this time and time again in the issue of inheritance, in the issue of trade, in the hudud punishments, in the ahl al-dhimma, the non-Muslims living. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever harms a dhimmi, he harms me. So the ahl al-dhimma, they used to pay the jizya, and in return they expected full protection, not just physical protection. But Sayyidina Umar, when he's the Khalifa, he finds one old Jewish man who's poor, and he feels shame that we as a state, we took your jizya when you were young, but we didn't feed you when you were older. And he took him to Bayt al-Mal, and he gave him enough till he had his clothing and his food, enforced by the state. Collection of the zakat, distribution of the zakat, circulation of the wealth, so that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كَيْلَا يَكُونَ دُولَةً بَيْنَ الْأَغْنِيَا مِنْكُمْ, so that it doesn't become a circuit just amongst the wealthy. These were all things established by the state. So Islam, when it came, and when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he struggled with it in a way to establish, to bring these ayat, bring these commands to people. Made them fear Allah, that they would stand before Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah and face Him, so that they obeyed these commands and didn't violate His prohibitions. But then He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, established a state where there were laws from Quran and Sunnah that showed how you implement these things and protect them and propagate them. And He defended the land. قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. Fight those who fight you. Don't aid the colonial power who's coming in. No, fight those that fight your Muslims. So when the Americans invade Afghanistan, don't invite them in to use their airspace and your air bases and supply routes. No, you fight them to defend your Muslim brothers. To implement Islam, to defend Islam and ultimately to propagate it. Because this Islam came to bring humanity out of darkness into light. So the Prophet ﷺ, through his every action as head of state, with other states and tribes, through invitation letters, through diplomatic relations, through trade relations, and through jihad fi sabilillah, he saw that this message of Islam was the uppermost. For the Islamic State, for the Khilafah, diplomatic relations with another state is not based on benefit, not based on money, or oil, or gas, or minerals, or waterways. It's based on inviting people to Islam. And brothers and sisters, don't people in this world need it today? Because this world is a world which lives in darkness, because it is dominated by global capitalism. Our countries are in misery, not because they follow Islam. Morsi messed up, not because he followed Islam, but because he wanted to follow a capitalist agenda. He wanted to invite the IMF in to make Egypt's economic situation worse. In Pakistan, people are constantly talking about democracy, democracy in this country. They're now seeing the fruits of democracy here. Now Cameron, he said last week he wants to export. So you know what his latest export he wants to export? He wants to export gay marriage. They want to export their values around the world. And they think that's going to bring light to humanity. Africa starving, Asia starving. Isn't this world in need of Islam? A state that will be the state following the state of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he foretold in his hadith, ثُمَّ تَكُونُ خِلَافَ عَلَى مِنْحَاجِ النَّبُوَةِ, a khilafah on the method of prophethood, which will be a beacon of light for this world, desperately needed, so that it can shed the filthy values where dog eat dog and rich eats poor, and have the beauty of Islam to rule over it. أَقُولِ مَوْلِ حَمْدِ
مشرقا وهدى من الرحمن يهدينا به للصالحات وللمكارم والتقى نور على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا مشرقا.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and Sira are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.